and Daily Telegraph journalist extraordinaire. Morning to you, Bulldog.
Morning, boys. I can start with some breaking news. David Clemmer has been issued a show cause notice as to why his contract shouldn't be terminated at the Newcastle Knights.
He's going to get sacked.
He is fighting to save his career amid suggestions that he could be terminated immediately. This is an breaking story which is unfolding as we talk right now. There will be meetings today between both parties. It's a strange situation. There's more to this story than Clemmer being stood down for a game based on an on-field argument with their head trainer, Hayden Knowles. I don't know what the rest of the story is. It will no doubt emerge. He hasn't been sacked just yet, but it's a watch this space. And as I understand, talks will happen today and there is talk that Clemmer is fighting to save his career up at Newcastle.
Is it just about, do you believe, what was said on the field, or has there been other ongoing issues?
I don't know, Laurie. I'd find it hard to suggest that that incident alone would be enough to terminate a contract. I should also add that that story has broken on the Daily Telegraph website. So if you want all your details on this unfolding Clemmer story, go to dailytelegraph.com.au and the story is there in the NRL section. So look, we'll see what happens today, Laurie. He might fight, he might kick, he might scream and save his career up there, but I understand he wasn't overly happy about being denied the chance to go to Parramatta 2 days ago in a late season switch.
Interesting, because some snouts at Newcastle saying that he's very, very happy up there, wants to stay there post-career, and the family's very happy up there, but you're hearing otherwise.
Well, certainly the show cause notice, you know, indicates that the club wants some answers out of him, and they want to know why he should retain his contract, which I think ends at the end of next year. He's on a big money contract, Clemmer. I'm told it's around $900,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
So he's on big coin. But I think he's been a good player this year, Laurie.
He's been
very strong.
I think he's been really strong this season in particular for Newcastle.
Could be the best.
Yeah, is it? Do you think it's because he's on big money?
Oh, that's always a possibility, isn't it? No one would ever admit that publicly, but clearly with the salary cap era we live in, if you're on massive money...
And you
money,
just find a way to move someone on,
well,
so
you
save
it,
money.
You make it untenable, don't you, Loz? So they want to move on. Mm. Then it's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, but good players are hard to find, Bulldog, aren't they?
They are.
And
they
if
are
we're saying that he's a state of origin player and he's been good for a lot of years now, he's only 28 years of age, I think. He's still got a good bunch of years ahead of him. What's the rationale behind
that?
Well,
they might have... Look, I haven't got the Knights roster in front of me. They might have a heap of...
23-year-olds
in that area coming through, and they think, well, we need... I mean, they need a halfback, don't they? That's fairly clear. So I don't know who's available for them to target, but they might feel, Gowie, that they can use that money elsewhere.
Just on the Knights on the text line, does O'Brien survive if Knights go winless for the rest of the season like I predict they will? That will mean 9 losses on the trot and only 5 wins for the season. Their efforts this year are nothing short of disgraceful, says Jobbo. Saw Adam O'Brien's comments yesterday saying that he'd like to have the press conference back for him post the Bulldogs loss on Sunday. And he conceded he looks like an egomaniac and reiterated that, you know, they're training to a higher level, which isn't translating onto the field. These were the comments he made in regards to the fact he's been around grand final winning teams, etc., which, you know, didn't come off, I guess. Overly great, so he wanted to address that yesterday. But I think you said it yesterday, Loz. He can just sense the pressure.
I think the pressure's on everyone up there. And I think they are all looking at the moment over their shoulders and they're not knowing who to trust and they're not believing in the process that was put in place because they supported Adam O'Brien. And I think I read or heard Phil Gardner say at the start of the year or halfway through the year when they were struggling that he wouldn't swap his coaching staff for anyone. He believed that they had the best in the business. So obviously something's changed between now and then. And I just want to know with this Clemmer stuff, is it just because he sprayed a trainer? Because I wouldn't see that as a reason depending on what he said, of course. If you're just having a blowout with the trainer for wanting you to leave the field and you don't leave the field and you're telling him to pee off, and that's a reason to get sacked.
It's like any workplace employment, Laurie. You can't just sack people because you have a whim. There's got to be reasons for that. And look, whether there's a dossier on Clem up there, I don't know. We know he's a hothead, but I'm like you. I would imagine just on one black mark against his name, that wouldn't be enough legally, I wouldn't have thought, to terminate a contract. So I think there is more to this story. I don't know what it is just yet. I thought it also was a bit unusual. Adam O'Brien called a press conference yesterday and only gave the media 45 minutes to get to that press conference to explain his comments from a press conference the day before. I mean, I thought it was good that he explained himself, and I quite like Adam, but it was just unusual again. And again, that indicates what you say, Laurie. I think everyone is feeling the heat big time up there.
Hey, Bulldog, we've got a question here from the text line there. Would the Knights consider trading Clemmer for Luke Brooks because they share the same manager? Is that a possibility?
The Brooks room has been around for a while now, Gow, hasn't it? He's been linked there for 2 years.
But
again,
they need a halfback
they
badly.
They do, desperately. And I think Joey would love to get his hands on Luke Brooks up there. I think he turned him into a superstar. But yet, on the back page of the Telegraph only yesterday, Tim Sheen's saying, hands off, he's not available. And Brooksy's on big money. So I think Brooksy's happy to stay in terms of the coin.
I think he's from Scone.
He is. Right.
I think he's from Scone up that way. So I don't know whether the Newcastle Knights look to bring him back into their fold.
He's restless, Loz. If they keep Hastings and Brooks, and I think you'll find he'll go.
Well, you know, he's done an apprenticeship. He's been in the lower grades. He's starting at, 22, 23. Probably feels as though he's ready every time he's handled first grade or played first grade, he's handled it. So I can understand why he'd want out and wants an opportunity to prove himself as a regular number seven. But this will be a story that continues to bubble along all day. And I'm sure that we'll find out more and what the reasons are for Clemmer being given a show cause notice on why he should survive and stay with the Newcastle Knights, or the contract is ripped up and they move on to someone else. But what about the Gold Coast Titans? They're another team that came into the season with high expectations, Bulldog. They made the finals last year, and Justin Holbrook, their coach, made some decisions at the end of last season to go with youth and let experienced players go, in particular in key positions. And now you see Kieran Foran being signed to go and play with the Gold Coast for the next couple of season, and there's some rumours and some talk that they're now chasing Ben Hunt.
Yeah, I had that story in today's paper, Loz. The Ben Hunt story is real. There's certainly interest there from the Gold Coast. Whether they've got the capacity and money to lure Ben Hunt away. He met with the Dragons last Thursday. The understanding out of that meeting was he was keen to stay. Excuse me. But obviously luring any Queenslander back to Queensland is an attraction. I'm told there's five other clubs that would have an interest in Ben Hunt. He does have a contract until the end of next year. There was a suggestion that the Gold Coast might even ask for Hunt to be released a year early. But I spoke to some key power brokers at the Dragons. That won't be happening. They love Ben Hunt, and he will definitely be there for next year. So whether that interest from the Gold Coast wanes if they can't get him for next year, I can't answer. But certainly he would be available for 2024. And no doubt the lure to go home would be strong. But the gut feeling out of the Dragons, if they're believing what Ben Hunt is saying, is that he's very, very keen to stay.
Now, rugby league greats have slammed the New South Wales government's failure to guarantee funding for four Sydney suburban grounds. And this is a real standoff at the moment between the state government and the NRL.
Yeah, it's over $250 million, Mido. That's generally, essentially funding to Brookvale, which was going to be $100 million. Leichhardt was going to be $50 million, and $100 million for Shark Park. Now, in May, that was agreed upon by the NRL and the state government. It now looks like the government is going to renege on that deal by saying that funding can be spent or will be spent elsewhere. The NRL are clearly filthy. The clubs are filthy. And it would mean now that Peter Volandis may take the grand final to Brisbane. Had that stadia deal been formally secured, it meant that the NRL grand final was locked in for Sydney until 2042. That deal would now be off the table, and we may be heading to Brisbane for two successive years for our decider.
Just on this then, Bulldog, do you think if it happens that they can't come to an arrangement with the New South Wales government, and we do go to Brisbane, do you think every year then from this year that they'll open it up for a tender process to take the grand final to different parts of the country and possibly to New Zealand to play a grand final?
Well, if there's no contract laws, they're entitled to. And I would. I'd be saying, bring on the money. Mm-hmm. If you want the big game, then you splash out the coin. And they do it in the NFL every year, Mido, don't they? It moves around the country. And when you think about it, there's 8 million people in New South Wales. The ground holds 80,000. So only 1% actually go to the game themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't think the general punter is too concerned where the game's played, as long as he's got his barbecue, he's got his beers locked away, Loz, and he's ready to watch the footy. Whether it's if he's at home, he doesn't care whether it's at Olympic Park or Timbuktu. But I think that in terms of the money, Perth would love it. The MCG would love it. New Zealand would love it. Adelaide would love it. There's multiple stadiums out there in cities that would love a crack at the NRL Grand Final. What a massive coup for that state.
So let's say New South Wales doesn't take it. It goes to Brisbane. Those suburban grounds don't get fixed up. Who fixes them up then?
That's the key question, Gowie. Where does it leave those suburban grounds? I mean, they're all in reasonable nick at the moment. They're not great.
Leichhardt's terrible.
Yeah, but like Shark Park's okay. Cogra's okay. Brookie's just got a new stand. Yeah. Leichhardt is
antiquated. I've been there plenty of times. It's great to watch footy. You're right on top of it. Everyone's yelling and screaming, but getting a beer and a hot
going
dog
to the toilet.
And see, a toilet even.
It's just terrible.
It's not great.
But you're right, Gow. If it's not now, when's it going to be? This Brookvale, for example, that's been 30 years now. And finally they thought, you know what, we've finally got a deal. And that looks like it's going to
Tony Abbott said we had a deal down there.
Multiple PMs have.
Nothing.
What about
Zero.
The Northern Beaches Tunnel, Gowie? Bulldog. How long have they been talking about that for?
Correct.
And apparently it's going to get put on the back burner now as well.
But so. You're right. If it's not now, when are these grounds going to get a lick of paint? Because they desperately need them. Because in 5-10 years, we don't want to get to a stage where a ground is not deemed to be safe for people to attend these days. In this modern day, they want facilities because they're paying good dollars to go to the footy.
Well, talking of Manly and Brookvale Oval, they host Parramatta this weekend.
Friday night, 7:55.
Gowie will be there. where are they at in terms of their playing group? We know that you got an ear to the ground there, and you were saying yesterday or the day before that, there's a divide, a clear divide within the playing ranks. How do you expect them to go, and how's it all going to unfold between now and the end of the season, in your mind? How do you think?
Well,
how does it play out?
Those 7 dissenting players are available this week, Laurie. 6 of them have been chosen. Josh Alloway is unavailable through a knee injury. Josh Schuster played in the last game, but he's been demoted to 18th man, which is a little strange. I'm not quite sure why Josh was the odd man out there, but the other 6 have been named. They will now be integrated back into the side. You know what, Laurie? I reckon we'll know, not through what the players say, not through what the officials or the coach says in terms of whether they're a club united or divided. I reckon we'll know based on how they play. If they play well and they look strong and they're playing for each other, I think we can all move on time. If they get belted, then I think more questions will be asked. Certainly last week's game against the Roosters with those replacements, Dez, I thought, did a remarkable job to try to squash all that outside noise, bring in all these kids, and to lose to one of the hot shots by just 10 points, I think was one of the great coaching performances of this season.
Pat Carrigan, 4 weeks last night, Bulldog. For that hip drop tackle on Jackson Hastings, his lawyer asked for 2, arguing the 2 other Broncos contributed to it going wrong. The NRL wanted 5 or 6.
Yeah, clearly the NRL thought they'd probably meet in the middle, and that would be an acceptable punishment, which I thought was about right. I looked at that tackle again last night, Loz, because we discussed it on this show yesterday. It's a bad tackle. We hate them. They've got to be eradicated. But how do you eradicate it? Carrigan actually hits Jackson Hastings on the lower back.
Yeah. And drops. He doesn't go in with force either.
And then, as you said, he drops. He doesn't even go in for the legs. So you cannot tell a player he can't go in and hit
hips
on the lower back and hips and fall to the ground. Gravity's going to take you to the ground. So what do you say to Pat Carrigan to deter him doing that again? Because he's going to say, well, essentially, I did nothing wrong in terms of technique.
Mm. Yeah, and this is the argument. You've got to think it through when you talk about rule changes and how you're going to apply them. And if you discourage people from tackling around the legs, where do they go? Mm. What do you do?
Well, it changes the game, doesn't it? If you can't tackle the legs, the old blokes would tell you to tackle the legs to see how the legs can't move.
Cookie made a fair point too, saying these blokes are so big and strong.
Yeah.
Like Jason Taumalolo, two people, like Cookie and a lock forward, a smaller lock forward, sometimes they just can't stop them in a two-man tackle.
Could it get to the point that the rule brought in that you've got to tackle below the knee so it's only bootlaces that you can tackle?
Well, with these hip drops, it won't matter. Because if you're third man in, or second, if you're second man in, you could slide down. So you could have two men in a tackle.
Yep.
You could have two men in a tackle up top, all right? And I can't stop your momentum, so I've got to take your leg to stop your momentum. So I slide down. But then if I slide down and get one of your legs, just sort of lift it, and the force of the guy still on top, because you lose a lot of your power because you're only on one leg, he could still force your body back over the top and bend you, and you can still end up in a broken bad leg. Position. Yep. And because I'm on your leg, is that going to be then an issue? People will be saying, oh,
you can't slide.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know the answer to your question.
Can we discuss another pertinent matter before I go?
Yes, of course we can.
The pumping up of car tyres yesterday after our
how
show.
How did it go?
So no, it didn't go well.
For those
I have got it on video. We'll discuss it next week.
Yeah.
It really reached a stage where it was.
Well, you know the thing that surprised me? You know the thing that surprised me? He was blowing up going, my front tyre is flat, so I need to put air in it. So, you know, when you put the gauge on.
Yep.
And it came up. Yeah, you lock it in.
Press the button, lock it in.
Yeah, you got 32. So you got 32. So he puts it on the front and it's 27. All right.
Right.
So he needed to pump it up to 32. 32. That's fine. But then we go to the back tyre. He puts it on.
The back tyre's
at 16.
Oh,
I said, mate, it's your back tyre, not your front tyre, that needs the pressure more.
But then the front tyre, which I thought was flat, was 38, not 32. It was about to explode.
So you're telling me you've got a car from Canterbury Toyota all these years, you've never pumped up a tyre, and you've never shown your kids how to pump up a tyre. Change a tyre, even.
I would never clue. You put it onto the nozzle and you press the button down.
You start sounding like you're a mechanic.
He said, what do I do now? Are you serious?
Do you know it beats when he gets to 32 and you press the gauge in at 32? Like, it's got a lot easier these days because you just press a button and tells you when to stop.
It's quite easy now.
Oh, my goodness. I know what I'm doing now. I cannot believe that.
Is that a direct quote? It's quite easy now.
Well, you tell me. You didn't know what you were doing. Well, what about this? He goes first. I'm telling him what to do. And I've got no idea. He's believing me.
I'd give him directions home in the end. I didn't think he was going to make it.
Look, my snouts tell me that we've got audio of this, which we might play next Tuesday
when
you're in as guest co-host once again. Hey, Bulldog, thank you.
Thank you for having me.